Pastor Gary, it's all yours, sir.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that welcome. I pray you've been blessed already today. Wasn't worship great? Amen. You know, I just want to encourage you and remind you that worship's as great as you make it. As you make it. I mean, God meets us. You're in a room like this. If you don't meet God, it's because you have a wall up, right? So what we're doing something different today. That's why I am here. And we have people from various campuses all going different directions today. We're doing today what we're just calling it a prophetic Sunday. Prophetic Sunday. And we'll be sharing a little more about that in a moment and the whys. But what I want to share with you right now, just in the next few minutes. To share with you a word that I think God has for you, I submit to you as the Murraysville campus at Bridge City. So this family of God right here meeting in Murraysville, this is for you. Does that excite you a little bit? Amen? All right. Okay, don't get too excited until you hear what it is, okay? All right. Again, I feel that God's always wanting to make adjustments in us. You realize that, right? Recognize, I mean, how many need an adjustment today? Yeah, right, in the spirit. I need my emotions adjusted. I need my head examined. We need those things. They're constant. And I believe the Father is always trying to adjust the church at large because we tend to go past the guardrails. And I believe God wants to adjust us. And I want to submit this word to you. I believe he wants to do an adjustment here. You know, we're all familiar with the scripture that Paul spoke when he was writing to the Corinthians, the Christians in the city of Corinth, and he said, you got to run the race to win. And he was talking about his walk with God. And he said, I run the race to win. And that preaches so well. It preaches so well. But most of us are not in the race. We're not in the race. And I believe that's what God wants to communicate to us. Most of us don't even know we're supposed to be in a race. See, most running the race to win with God, in God, as a Christian, is that I'm doing better in my life. You know, I'm dealing with sin. I'm walking in greater holiness. I'm learning to live right, speak right, talk right, do right. It's about personal holiness. It's about taking care of my family, being a better parent, being a better aunt, better uncle. These are the things that I'm working at. And this is I'm running the race. I'm volunteering. I'm part of a team in church. I'm part of two teams on Sunday mornings. So I'm running this race. But listen. I believe Paul would call what we call running the race a warm-up. It's nothing more than a warm-up. There's more to it than that. I mean, he calls it a race. And this, what he's saying this is a lifelong race. This is a marathon. And there should be a level of discomfort in your walk with God. Like kind of this constant tension, this level of discomfort. You know, our byline scripture for Bridge City Church is what? What's our go-to scriptures? 2 Timothy, what is it? 2 Timothy 2:2, we know it. It says this, as you therefore, my son, be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus, the things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Love it. I live that. I want that to be my legacy. I'm sharing this. But we typically don't read the very next verse where Paul says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. You know, there is a measure of struggle and suffering as we're pursuing God, as we're running after him. And I believe that the church culture that we're living in at this time, our faith is not spent on running the race for the kingdom of God. Our faith is spent on making our lives easier. So often think about your prayer time. Most of your prayer time is invested in you. God, I pray for health for my family. God, I pray for this financial need. God, I pray for my future. God, I pray for this relationship. I pray for my marriage. I pray for my children. It's so much of it is aimed at ourselves. It's aimed here, right here. But I'm asking you, I believe God's asking us, what's your faith really for? What's it supposed to be for? What is this race that we're supposed to be running? And I believe Jesus answered the question very simply in Matthew chapter 6 when he was addressing being concerned too much for this life. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things get added. But this seeking first the kingdom, I believe we get confused. God wants to adjust us on what does it mean to seek first the kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom is way more than you being a better person. Seeking first the kingdom is way, way beyond you being a better wife, better husband, better servant of God. It's way beyond those things. He's challenging us, again, that seeking first the kingdom is always going to be about the reason that the church exists, right? That we could see as many people as possible begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers. It's about outreach and discipleship. Reach the lost, make disciples. Reach the lost, make disciples. Reach the lost, make disciples. Until you get that into your head and start running that race, you haven't entered. You haven't entered this race that we're supposed to be in, this race that there is some suffering for, is pursuing God and the purposes of his kingdom. And what we have done is we've made pursuing God and honoring God more about what my life being better. My life being better. See, let's be honest. We think that when there's hardship involved, I'm doing something wrong. Paul's saying we should embrace some hardship. And a question, of course, that we have to ask ourselves is, God, man, when was the last time I was stressed and strained for the purposes of the kingdom of God? I'm stressed and strained over things personally and worries that I have, but am I stressed and strained for the purposes of God? You know, if someone tells me they're a runner, I make some assumptions. One assumption would be, if you tell me I'm a runner, I'm thinking, well, you're going to go out and run at least twice a week. That means over 100 times a year out of 365 days, you're going out to run. And you're going to run at least 4 miles a week. That's like the minimum if you're a runner. Now, if you're not doing that, you're not a runner. You're just somebody who occasionally goes for a run. And you're not someone that's going to win a race, right? And in the kingdom of God, listen, I believe that, you know, we say, yes, God, I'm seeking you first, I'm building your kingdom. But we only reach out to people seasonally. When the church is doing something, I reach out in a seasonal way. Halloween's coming, we're gonna do trunk or treat, I'm gonna invite my neighbors. Listen, if you're only reaching out and look and being inconvenienced and looking to touch people occasionally, okay, you're not in the race. You're not in the race. Okay? And there is a stress and a strain that we should have pursuing the purposes of God. Jesus came to seek and save lost people. If we're not feeling any strain there, are you really in the race? Are you really in that race? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Many of us are familiar with. The writer says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, he's referring to chapter 11 where it talks about all the heroes of the faith. Okay. He says, this is what he says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. See, the putting aside of sin, being a better person, the putting aside of the hindrances, things that aren't necessarily evil, but they hinder you from going forward. Listen, until you do that, you're not in the race. We do these things that we can run the race with endurance. Okay, and we so often, like I said, we think that that's the point. If I become a better servant, then I'm in the race. No, you're not. This race is to pursue the things of God. It's to live like Jesus Christ. And of course, we know, it says, sins and weights, hindrances, what keeps you from pursuing? What's really dominating your calendar? And again, it goes on here, verse 2. It says, how are we going to do this? Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised shame. He didn't like being shamed. Jesus was shamed, the way they mocked him, right? The way even religious leaders mocked him before he was arrested, right? He didn't like being shamed, but he didn't matter. He had something before him. When's the last time you were shamed for the gospel? Were you ever shamed for the gospel? We have to catch this. God's calling us to something deeper. In our culture, particularly our Western culture, we have softened what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He's looking for people who want to run the race to win. I want to run the race to win. That means I need to step up my game. I need to step it up. How do we do it? I'm going to fix my eyes on Jesus. He did what he did with joy because he knew there was something ahead. Remember, listen, the day's coming when you are going to stand before God and give an account for your life. You're going to heaven, but you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account. No one else is going to be there. All right? We need to recognize what's before us. The joy set before me is I'm going to stand before him and hear him say, well done. You ran the race. You ran the race. So for the joy before us, we're not going to grow. It says Jesus didn't grow weary and lose heart. You will not grow weary and lose heart. But you got to get in the race. So the thing I leave you with in this moment in time is, first again, are you really in the race? Be honest. Am I really in the race? Or am I really just a better person than I used to be? And I occasionally do the kingdom stuff. Am I about the Father's business? And again, ask yourself, when was the last time you were strained in reaching lost and hurting people? See, that's where God wants to take us. That's what he calls his sons and daughters to. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, God, and I thank you, Lord. Again, God, I thank you, God, for you adjusting me, because I speak to myself too, Father God. And Lord, as I'm here with the brothers and sisters in Murraysville, this Murraysville campus, Father God, adjust us, Lord. God, I don't want to be in self-deception, thinking I'm something I'm not. I don't want to stand before you someday and be like those who say, but God, I thought I did so well. And he's saying, you missed me. Father God, let me be open. Let your spirit have way with me. Spirit, have your way. We sang today, God, come and consume all that I am. Come and consume me, God. I want to be caught up, God. I want to get in the race. There's changes that have to happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now listen, again, that's just an example, we hope, of a prophetic ministry in a corporate sense, of presenting something to you. We absolutely believe as a church family that God wants to speak to us on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Certainly, I know all of us pray for direction, right? You pray, God, what do I do here? What do I do in this situation, that situation? Right? We absolutely believe that. And we believe he does it corporately, and he does it individually. And what we're going to be doing here is giving opportunity for some personal prophetic things to happen. That means people praying for you, looking at you, you coming forward, praying for you, and just seeing what God says to them for you. Okay? But what we want to do in creating a safe environment, because we absolutely convinced God wants to speak these ways, okay, is we want to learn how to process these things properly. All right. So when you're going to have people pray for you and they're going to say something prophetic, what do we do? Let's go to that next slide. It says, first thing you got to do, because these words need judged. Okay, words need judged when people speak things over you or to you and they say, thus saith the Lord, or however they would do it. All right. There's a couple of things you need to do to judge these words, and they should be judged. I'm not going to let anybody speak or prophesy in Bridge City Church as an elder, I will never let it happen, who think they're always correct. You're not always correct. There's a reason in 1 Corinthians 14 that it says, let people prophesy, let two or three prophesy, and let the others do what? Judge. Listen, if it was always right, why would it have to be judged? See, it's built into the system that healthy prophetic ministry needs judged. So it's built into the system that healthy prophetic ministry at times is not correct. Okay, but that's okay. That's all right. So you're going to have people pray for you today. They may say three or four specific things. Maybe three of those were right and one's off. Right? Listen, eat the fish, spit out the bones. All right, that's what we want to do. Real spiritual. Okay, that's what we want to do. All right, that's what we want to do, because we see through a glass darkly, all right? But don't throw out what God is doing because it isn't perfect. Do you follow me, right? This is healthy, prophetic ministry. So the first thing you want to do, too, then, is, again, you're to hear these words, but is it biblical? Does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, okay, throw it out. It's not God. Does it line up? Is it in context of the Word of God? Okay. Does it resonate in your heart? Is it bearing witness inside? Is there something inside you that jumps at that? Okay. Is there something inside you that jumps? Is there something that says, "Man, there's something there." It should. There should be something that resonates in your heart. Okay. But here, this third one is huge. Share it. You got to share the Word with a spiritual authority. By spiritual authority, I mean somebody you respect. Somebody you respect, somebody certainly that is a peer or someone who you look to above you, higher up the ladder, so to speak. Share it, because it should bear witness. Again, one thing I've said often, it's not prophetic till your pastor says it's prophetic. You know, otherwise it's just pathetic. Okay, we want prophetic or pathetic. It's going to be one of those two. But these are safeguards for you. Okay, share the word. And then lastly, don't chase it. In other words, don't try to go and make it be fulfilled. Quite often, listen, there are conditions to prophetic words. You know, God may say, "I'm calling you to be a missionary in Africa," but if you're not doing anything to get your finances in order and you're not doing anything to grow as a leader, that ain't going to happen. Okay, there are conditions. But you can't just go chase it. You can't make it happen. You cannot make those things happen. All right? So let's show this next scripture here. Again, just creating the environment. Again, it says, "The one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them." When you come forward for prayer, the words you receive should do one of these three things. It should strengthen you, encourage you, or comfort you. All right? God, it's to build you up. It's to build you up. That's what we want to see. Next scripture. Here's the other one. At times, we just want to look at prophetic things and say, I don't want anything to do with that. That's just crazy. That God doesn't work that way. Paul wrote this to the Christians in Thessalonica. He said, "Don't scoff at prophecy. Don't scoff. Don't make it light." Some of us came out of churches, church families that just don't believe in any of this. Okay, and I believe they're missing out on a big part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, and is it why? Because look at this. Paul said, "Don't scoff at it, but test everything." And what's he say? Hold on to what is good. And what does that mean? Some of it was bad. Some of it wasn't right. Okay, so we embrace it. We don't scoff at it. We esteem it. We want to grow in the prophetic. So what's happening today is we have a team here from White Oak. And if you guys could come forward. We have five teams from the White Oak campus. And the reason they are from White Oak and not Murrysville, all right, I forget where the Murrysville people went. They went, actually, they're at the campus I'm at. They're in Brighton Heights. Okay, the reason we do that is because when it comes to the prophetic, the less I know about you, the better. Okay, so we brought people here that really, for the most part, don't know you. And actually, if you know a couple of the teams up here, don't go to them. I'm going to encourage you, do not go to them. So you're not going to go to people you know. All right, why? Because we want to see what God says to you. You're not going to come up and ask for a prayer need. That's not what this is about right now. We can do that later at the end of the worship experience. Okay? I want you to come up, just come up, and I'm here to hear what God has to say. I'm here to hear what God has to say. All right? And allow them to speak. You're going to grow. You're going to be strengthened and encouraged and comforted. And they are going to grow in their gifting, right? Because where is a better place to practice gifts than inside the house, right? Doesn't that make sense? That's what we do. We train one another. We're disciples. Okay, so that's what's happening. So you may be here saying, "I'm not going up there." Look, if you're not going up for you, come up for them. All right, come up for them that they can walk. They can practice this gift. Practice this gift. And I am absolutely sure there are a bunch of people out here with this gift. I believe that the prophetic gift God wants to give, man, really to really anybody who's willing to receive, because he wants to make himself known. Paul said, "Pray that you receive all the gifts, but especially that you could prophesy." Prophesy. All right? So again, this is something we believe in wholly. And right now, so we're going to have the ushers come forward. And if you could just come, again, I'm just asking you to get up right now. Again, come forward. Get in line here behind the ushers, and they'll disperse you. Do not go to a couple that you know. Don't go to a team that you know. These guys are only going to pray for men. Okay, these two guys. All right? So, amen. So, right now, I said, that's what it's for. Church, let's be the church. And let's just pray, even as you come forward. Father, we come before you, God, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, I'm asking, Lord God, that today is going to be a day that there's edification, there's strengthening. Father, this will be a day that people, there's hearts red. Their hearts are going to get red, and they're going to know the reality of Jesus Christ. If you're not, I would encourage you, come forward. I said, for yourself or for the teams, let them grow. This is for you to be edified and lifted up. Let's magnify the Lord.